Good music this morning. All our musicians, thank you for all of you that are here today. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. We'll read just a few verses this morning. We'll start in verse 57. If you're willing and able, would you stand with me as we pay honor to God and His Word? Bible says in Luke chapter 9, verse 57, a familiar passage to some. Truth of the matter is, it's about the third time I've looked at some of these verses since I've been here. I love this thought, and I want it to be a blessing and help to us this morning. Verse 57, it came to pass as they went away, a certain man said to him, Lord, I'll follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Now pause for a second here. Somebody walks up to me and says, I want to become a follower of Christ here. I'm overjoyed. I'm excited. I didn't have to go find them. Audrey, if you understand that, I didn't have to give them a piece of candy. They just walked in and said, hey, I want to do what's right. And most of us, that would really excite us, right? You got family, friends come up to you, coworkers, say, hey, I want to do what's right. I want to follow Jesus. We go, hey, great, right? Look at what Jesus says. Jesus said to him, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, son of man has not where to lay his head. Come again. He said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus knew their heart. Jesus said, hey, listen, you can come after me. He said, but you're going to leave behind material comfort. Another guy comes up to him and says, Lord, I'll follow you, except I've got a dad and he's a little older. And the reality is, if he'll go ahead and die, I can get the inheritance. He's not wanting to go bury his father. He's wanting his father to die so he can get his goods. And Jesus looks at him and says, let the dead bury their dead. But go thou and preach, announce the kingdom of God. Another said also, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which were at home in my house. Growing up all around agriculture and farms, I know exactly what he means here. He says, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, because when you look back or side to side, you go crooked. You don't do what you should do. You keep focused on a certain point, and that point is to be Jesus. He said, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Luke chapter 9, 57 through 62. 2 Corinthians 8, 5, one of our themes when we talk about the subject this morning, talking about stewardship, the Bible says, this they did not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves unto the, what's that word there? To the Lord and unto us. There is commitment vertically, and there is commitment horizontally. We had our new member, one of our new member class yesterday. That's a commitment we need to make to the Lord and then to us. That's what we want to do, and that's what we're asking us to do this month as we are all in. And that's what I want to speak about. All in, I want to be a good steward. I want to be a good steward. Pray with me right now. Father, from front to back and left to right and side to side, I ask you to help us today. I ask you to speak to our hearts. I pray, Lord, that you'd be honored and glorified this morning. I pray, Lord, in particular, that we would know and understand the Scripture and that you would help us. I pray, Lord, that you'd take down the fences and preconceived ideas. And Lord, as we talk about commitment, Lord, we've been talking about it now for several weeks. I ask you to help and Spirit of God, that you would just go through each chair and each aisle and each row, and help us. Help us to take the steps, those who are Christ followers. And Lord, if there's a person here today who, if they died like they are, they'd spend an eternity apart from you, may today they recognize their need to repent of their sins and put their faith and trust in you and ask you to change their heart and life. I pray that you'd do that. I pray, Father, that we would rejoice because of the Word of God and you speaking to our hearts. Now, Spirit, I pray you'd help me. May I preach your word with power and authority, and I pray that you get all the honor and glory this morning. I ask it in Jesus' precious and holy name, and amen. You can be seated. You can be seated. Cut my monitor down just a little bit there. Thank you. We're going to talk today a little bit about stewardship. And when I talk about this, I immediately, some of you are real happy, some of you are not real happy, and we've been talking about this. I've been talking about it, honestly, for all the whole month. I've just not been using the word to do that. When we say stewardship, some of you think immediately what I do as a kid. Somebody talk about stewardship, I thought that's a people on a plane, right? They're stewardesses and stewardesses. Nod your head if you're like me. We talk about stewardship there. Or a steward, you know, some kind of funny kind of stew or a pie there. I didn't know what it was, but it's a good old Bible word there. We would say manager. We would say something like that. Some of you in here, that's what you do for a living. You manage things. You manage things for other people. And I suggest to you that stewardship, what we're going to talk about today from the Bible, really, if you have a bulletin, apparently ran out, so if you have one of the special bulletins, you can write some notes down on the back here and help you stay awake a little bit. That's a proper management of my life in order to enhance the kingdom of God. The proper management of my life in order to enhance the kingdom of God. What you do, how you do, how you handle things, what you do with your time, talent, and treasure, your testimony can either add to or take away from the kingdom of God. Nod your head if you believe that. That how you live affects others. And God has entrusted certain things to you in order for you to be a blessing or a burden to others. You can be a blessing or a burden to this church. Nod your head if you believe that, by the way. You can be a blessing or a burden. You can bless other people. Some of you, your ham, your potato salad. Some of you, your Coca-Colas. You were an absolute blessing to the West family. They didn't get any of the cookies and all because I'm on a diet and I threw them all away. You can be an absolute blessing to those people. You can do that. How you live and how you use what God has given to you can enhance the kingdom of God, can enhance the kingdom of God. It is very simply the recognition of His Lordship in my life. It's a recognition of His Lordship in my life. A couple of Saturday nights ago, UNC, University of North Carolina, was playing the Duke Blue Devils. Every time from now on until I leave, if I say the word Duke Blue Devils, I want everybody to boo. Don't do that. And, Mr. Glaspie is a Duke Blue Devil fan. And not for much longer. He's going to become a University of Tennessee fan. And when football season gets here, because Duke and Carolina neither one have any football teams. He said to me, preacher, I'll be at your house in a little while. I'm coming over to watch the game. Riley said I could come. And I said, okie dokie. So I dialed up Riley. I said, Riley, is it true that you invited the enemy to our home? That you invited the Duke Blue Devil to our home? No. And he started back pain. He said, Dad, I wouldn't do that without asking you or Mom. And I said, well, good, because the answer is no. And he can't come. Well, our son very simply illustrated what lordship is. I am wanting the permission, the approval of God Almighty. I'm wanting to make sure that I don't make decisions, that I don't make things that are life-changing or even small decisions. I want to do so with the smile and the blessing of Almighty God. That includes my time and my talent and my treasure and my testimony. We jump into the story here a little bit. But before we do that, let me remind you again that this is not an automatic thing. You're talking about this, and some of you work, some of you are retired, some of you in between jobs. I'm talking to a fairly, I would think, interesting section, cross-section of Knox Hill. You say, well, everybody knows they ought to be a good steward. I just don't think so. I think I can prove it to you. Recent research says that almost half of people who say that they're born-again believers, that Satan's not real, that he's just kind of a symbol here. He's kind of a symbol. The Bible is absolutely positively clear that there is a real, literal Satan, and who is at work with the forces of darkness organized against the forces of what God has. He does not have all power. He didn't have a lot of power, but he's got more power than you and I do. And he's real, and he has a real fate and a real end, and he will literally, really be cast in the lake of fire which burns forever and forever. But when you poll people, they say, well, he's just a symbol. almost a third of those folks think that you can be good enough to get into heaven. The Bible is really clear. There is none that doeth good. There is none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short. They've not measured up to the glory of God. They have missed the mark. But when you ask Americans and they say that they know Christ, they don't give the right answer here. One out of five say that when Jesus was here on earth that he committed sins. You understand, if we do not have a sinless Savior, we do not have a Savior. If we do not have Jesus who is perfect and altogether lovely, then we are of all men most miserable. But one out of five say the wrong thing. Excuse me. Almost one out of six say that after he was crucified, he didn't rise again. In other words, we serve a dead Savior. 1 Corinthians 15. Again, he is our hope. He is the resurrected one. And if he did not come back from the dead, then again, we are all living a lie. We are all hoping in hope and not hoping in him. About one out of four says it doesn't really matter what you believe. All roads lead to heaven. The Bible again says in Matthew's gospel that broad is the way and wide is the gate that leads into destruction. But narrow is the way and straight is the way that leads to life everlasting. There are many roads, but they lead to an awful, terrible place called hell. And these people, again, who sit in the church, who check the right boxes, they give the wrong answers. Now, why in the world would you think that everybody understands what it means to be a good steward? The evidence is not there. The evidence is not there. Most believers believe that serving the needy is important, but only one out of three gave any time, any resources there. Again, our treasure and our heart are not on the same page here. About one out of six gave no money to their church. These are little older statistics. The number is just a hair higher. It's about 18%. The proportion who gave any kind of planned giving, a 10% there, was about 8%. That fluctuates east, north, south, east, west. The numbers fluctuate a little bit here, but 8's probably a good percent. 8%, if you take that out in a room this size, 60-some people here, pardon me, 60-some people, that only means you've got to go over about 5 people in any direction to find anybody who planned to give. And every fifth person who gave, about every 10th person who gave anything resembling 10% or a planned giving there. Statistics holding true. We spend somewhere between 7 and 10 times as much on fun as we do spiritual activities. Excuse me. And when you ask them a survey, especially young people, none of them said that they really thought it meant to be, to their most important goal in life was to be a follower of Christ, The statistics are alarming, and I have more than that. I just throw a few of these out here. And we're talking about our time, talent, treasure, and testimony. We're talking about where we live. Nod your head if you understand this is where you live. Paying bills, working a job, doing these kind of things. This is where we all live. Say, well, you shouldn't talk about this subject here. Well, that's fine. But I really feel like I'm in pretty good company. Jesus talked about finances, money, 16 out of 38 parables. He talked about it roughly 1 out of every 10 verses in the gospel. 1 out of every 10 verses. Think about it. In the next 3 days, how many times will finances, time, talent, treasure, and testimony run into your life? I'd say this afternoon, I'd say tomorrow, I'd say every time you cut the lights on, every time you're on the water, every time you pay a bill, every time you pick up something, every time you get a burger, every time you get a milkshake, every time you get a donut, any time we do this, I'd say to you, if you want to talk about worry in the person's life, again, it's typically about health and family and finance. Jesus is the one who talks about this so much. Jesus, the Bible devotes 500 verses to prayer, about 500 on faith, but over 2,000 verses on money and possession. Over 2,000 verses on money and possession. This is where the kingdom is. This is where our heart is, where our treasure is. This is where the rubber meets the road. People get really, really, just wait. Just give me a minute or two. Let me get you in a pretty good lather before you get real, man. Don't waste your bullet here, Barney Fife. And give me just another moment or two, all right? So about 2,000 verses on money and possessions. Some say somewhere around $17 a week is what folks give. What folks give in an American, North American church. These numbers, again, go up and down. It's from 4 to 3, 3 to 2.5. I just use these. Somewhere, this is where it is. Again, these are regional numbers here. And behind the stained glass windows, the survey said 96% of their pastors believe that almost 80% of their budget was given by 20% of their people. And I'd say that's probably true most places. We have our budget we're going to be passing coming up. Well, we'll give it to you next Sunday night, and then we'll vote on it. It'll go into effect in March. And we've had to drop our budget down to about $2,200. We average somewhere between 40 and 50 adults. If those between 40 and 50 adults gave $50 a week, $50 a week, that'd be $2,250. If everybody gave $50, the adults, not the children, I reckon the kids got some money too, I suppose, but maybe we should be talking to them. Y'all can leave. And we did that. I mean, we need budget. That's just a little more than minimum wage. I know not everybody works. I'm just using numbers, averages here. I would say to us, and I'd say there are several people who give more than that because you believe in stewardship, believe in being a good steward of what God has given you here. I'm simply suggesting to us that we're a long way statistically from being obedient, perhaps. So why shouldn't you have a stewardship? Why shouldn't you emphasize this? Why shouldn't you do this? We did this last year in February. Why are we doing this again? What are you doing here? Well, number one, we're not in a crisis. Now, 2 years ago, we were in a crisis. We're not anywhere close to a crisis. We're not in crisis for a couple of reasons. Mainly because of the faithfulness of God's people and the faithfulness of God Himself. We're not in a crisis. We don't owe $100,000 to a bank somewhere. We don't have any problems here. Andre's not been taking the building fund and playing the ponies and we're not in a crisis. How many of you'd like to see that? You got a good mental picture there, yeah. And we're not in a crisis. Sometimes you preach these sermons because, guess what? February 15, we had Stewardship Generosity Month. February 16, we had Stewardship Generosity Month. February 17, we had Stewardship Generosity Month. Why? Because I believe 2,000 verses deserve some time from the pulpit, don't you? Because I believe that Jesus talked about it so much, deserves some time from the pulpit. Because I believe that we're going to give an account one day, right? So it's not because we're in a crisis, number two. See, stewardship's about raising, not about raising money. It's about God raising His children. It's about God raising His children. How many folks in here know people who love stuff and who love money and who love things and who love the little happiness that it buys, but they are empty inside? People wonder why God won't trust them with more because you've not done what you're supposed to with what He's given you. It's about God raising His children. God raising His children. God does not need your money. Preached that last week. All the silver and all the gold is His. God has not bit one fingernail wondering, oh, I hope they give. I hope they're faithful. Oh, man. What are we going to do? God's never spent one night pacing the floor. God is interested in raising us. Number two. Why shouldn't we have it? Well, because people get mad. People get mad and leave. I've famously done this twice. I'm going to do it again. I want this to be part of a memory of this church. How many of you ever heard that, by the way? Anybody ever heard that? You know, if you talk about money, people say you talk about money, and you're going to get mad and leave. Anybody ever heard that? In that voice, just me, and this man just leave. Joe, I need your help. I know you were in Alabama last week. You still have some mental cells, some brain cells left. I'm just messing. I was two on Alabama the other day. I'm sorry. And all right, Joe, I need you to help me. Joe, have you ever heard that? You've made so many people leave. Yeah, talking about stuff, talking about sin. You heard that? I don't know where that voice is from. I don't know what it is. So. Kimberly, I need more of that coffee next week. Apparently, I'm doing well. And all right, so here we go. So, Joe, if people are going to get mad and leave, what are they probably giving right now?
Not much.
In fact, if they're real mad, they're probably not giving what?
At all.
Zippo. Zero. Nada. Ninguno, right? I don't know any more words for zeros. Anybody help me out here? All right. So I need zilch. There we go. All right, so I need you to help me here. So if they're given zero, you with me? Joe's got it. Some of you that need to do this in your head, in the paper, just write that down, zero. All right? And they're going to take their money and leave. Right? Yeah. You got that? So if they take what they're given, which is what?
Zero.
And they're going to take it and leave. So zero minus zero. Some of you wrote it down, didn't you? You feel kind of foolish now, don't you? And zero minus zero. Help me out, Joe. Zero. People moaning, groaning, whining, and complaining, and they got no skin in the game. They've not been obedient. They sit around and criticize and bemoan other people, and we're worried about they're going to leave when they're not adding anything to the church, not doing anything for the church. They're not being obedient to God, and we're worried they're going to take their zero minus zero, their what? And leave. How would we know they left? Right? Why are we so upset that they're leaving? They need to get right with God, don't they? They need to get right with God. We worry about people who are not doing anything but doing what? Draining. Now, let me give you a time out here. Let me give you a time out. For all of you about to give and first-timers and all of you that stewardship is a new concept to and you're trying and stumbling and halting and stopping and all that, I'm not for a moment talking to you. I'm talking to people who absolutely positively know better, but refuse to be obedient, and they get critical anytime anybody gets anywhere close to them. The rest of you, man, we're cheering you on as hard as we can. We're excited for you. The adventure of faith, the adventure of obedience. We're excited for you. Get that paycheck and stack of bills, and the first check, the first digital transaction you make is to the Lord's work and to the Lord's house, the storehouse there, the local church, and you're obedient to Him. I am thrilled for you. The ups and downs and the highs and lows. Been there, done that, got the t-shirt. Good. God bless you. Any way we can help you, we want to be an attaboy to you. Praise the Lord for you. But the rest of the folks, we go, yeah, 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 yeah. I don't know why we're so worried about you anyway. Say, that's mean. No, that's just common sense. That's just Bible. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. People get upset and leave. Fine. I've never met anybody with a joyful heart who leaves over stewardship messages. Leaves over stewardship messages. As a teenage boy, I was working a job. We had our stewardship banquet at church on a Saturday night. I remember the first time I filled out a stewardship pledge. I remember I was making probably a couple $100 a week, minimum wage kind of thing. I filled that out. I 200 times 10% is $20. And then they said, now if you want to support missions, you can do a little more than that. And I thought, I can do more than that? I was just dumb. And so I took on a missionary for $5. I know I changed his life, but I believe God kept good records, by the way. I believe I'll see that again in investment in heaven. And so I put down, I was going to give $25. I got a book of envelopes. And I got to put my, I got my name on a book of envelopes. It was exciting. And so Rodney Holman, then they spelled it right later on. And I got my name and I got to put that on there. And I got to turn in my giving as a teenage boy. And I got, somebody told me I was investing in the work of the Lord. You know what? Next year when it came around, I said, you can add a percent to that. You can do 11% if you want to. 11%. 11%. Man, that'd be awesome. That'd be awesome. Say, well, Mom and Dad's paying for all your groceries and food and your gas, and you can do whatever you want. Well, I got news for you. I get pretty jazzed up right now as the head of the household with two kids at home and a wife and a mortgage. I get pretty excited now by thinking, what more can I do for the Lord? Because God has been so crazy, unbelievably good to me. I have never met anybody who's excited about this, who will say, no, man, God's been faithful. God's been faithful. We had a business meeting some time back. Two of our ladies, fixed income, taking care of all the things. They walked up to me, said, it'll be okay, preacher. If we need to, we'll just dig down a little bit deeper and we'll go a little harder. And I walked to my office with tears in my eyes, seeing the folks who are not working, who have a set amount of money that's coming in, and they have fixed income and all these kind of things. And they're with their joyful heart saying, I want to do more for Jesus at my age and stage in life. And I'm saying, praise the Lord, for their joyful heart. God's people say amen. Amen. Number three, we should have this. We shouldn't have one of these because the church will grow financially as it grows numerically. Well, it's just not true. It's just not true. Last thing to get to any church, last thing we ever do is finances, and then that's first thing to leave. First thing to leave. John Maxwell says this, yeah, the last thing to arrive at church and the first thing to leave. Let somebody get a little bit out of shape. Well, I'm not giving anymore. I'm not attending anymore. I'm not serving anymore. Doesn't take much either. People do this like it's their money. Not good if you've ever been around people like that. Been around people like it's the first thing to arrive at, last thing to arrive and the first thing to leave. See, commitment is not an automatic process. Commitment's not an automatic process. Married ladies in here, raise your hand. If you have to think about it, don't raise your hand. Married ladies in here. How many of you were ready to commit to your husband before he was ready to commit to you? Anybody? Wave at me. Yeah, you were, as soon as you saw that picture I sent you of a chimpanzee. And any men in here, you're waiting on your wife? You're like, man, I'm so ready to commit and be tied down and never date anybody else. And, oh, that's all I can think about is one woman the rest of my life. How many men in here like that? Some of you are lying. And every one of them in here read that thing on the board and the screen and went, yep, that's right, commitment's not an automatic process. And every man in here went, oh, sure, commitment's no problem. Just fall into it. Trip over a rake. You know, falling, oh, it's just there. No, spiritually, it's not there either. Commitment is not an automatic, several of you in here that are engaged or about engaged are going, hurry up. It's not an automatic process. It's nowhere close. Nowhere close. People come, visit a church and all. It takes them sometimes 6 months to ever get in the rhythm and flow of a church. 20, 30 years ago, we expect folks to come and join and stay and be here all the time. It's not the case in this generation, and it's never been the case spiritually. Commitment is never an automatic process. Why should we have a stewardship month? Number one, it's going to stretch us. Stretch us. It has stretches. It will stretch us. It stretches us. Say, this is not real spiritual here. 2,000 verses. One out of every 10. Jesus talked about this more than any other subject. Keep getting out. Put out of your mind that this is not a spiritual subject. It is absolutely a spiritual subject. It's going to stretch us. It's going to stretch us. What are we going to do? First time in my life I'm doing this. Thinking about a daughter going off to school. First time in my life I'm thinking about this. Probably could use a third car. If she's going to have a car. First time in my life, I'm thinking about a whole bunch of expenses that I've never had. But I can look at you with a straight face and honesty in my heart, but I've never been more excited about an opportunity to be stretched than I am right now. God has given us good foundation. God has given us great people. We have people excited about being all in, and I am thrilled to death to think about the future of this church as we go forward, and I want it to stretch us. I can hardly wait for Easter. We had almost 250, 300 last year. I'd love to have 400, 450 this year. Reach those people. We have three families who come any given Sunday from our family and friend day, our community fun day. I would love to have six families next time. I'd love to have 500 or 600 people here next in the fall. I'm so excited about Cowboy Larry coming. I can't wait for him to come and share with all those children. We'll reach the kids with the gospel, moms and dads with the gospel. I'm ready to be stretched a little bit spiritually. Want to go forward for King Jesus. Number two, this is a time where you probably grow a little more. I preach on prayer. Maybe it's like you're wearing a raincoat or something. And talk about stewardship, time, talent, treasure, and testimony. Man, I got with you. I'm in your bathroom now with the toothpaste and the hairbrush, right? It's right where you live. It's right where you live. Probably grow a little more. Take a step. Do a little better. It's going to help some of you that are on the fence. Remember what it's like. I remember what it's been like. I remember helping people who've been there. I want to encourage you to do this. Man, if this is first time for the third time, not yet if you understand that expression. If you start and stop and start and stop and start and stop, it's okay. It's okay. We're making it real easy, real simple. wants you to do that, wants you to feel like you can. And again, to all our guests that are here, and all our guests, maybe this is your second or third service with, look right here. I'm talking to our people here. I'm not beating you up or berating any of you. I'm glad you're here, but I'm not apologizing either. This is absolute Bible. This is what the Bible teaches. We are to be good stewards of what God's given to us. And I hate maybe your service, your preview of us is this because of what the world has done, and there's so many folks out there going, gimme, gimme, gimme. I'm saying you be a good steward of what God has given to you, and you be obedient to Him because He's commanded you. And by the way, you not only won't outgive God, but you're never going to outgive the blessing of God, because He wants to show you that when you put Him first, that God is interested in taking great care of you. I didn't say He'd make you rich. I said He'd bless you. By the way, I'd rather have God's blessing than God's money. Nod your head if you believe that. Amen. It'll help us. Help us. And it'll help us recommit. Time to re-sign. Sign back up. Time to jump back in. Time to jump back in. I want to ask you for a commitment. Next Sunday night, I'll ask you for a commitment. Anonymous commitment, but a commitment. I'll ask you for a commitment. Some of you made that commitment. Some of you have told me. We're in. We started last fall. I'm in. Started in January. I'm in. I'm asking you. Because that's what Jesus does. Say, prove it to me. Yeah. Look at it. Look at Luke chapter 9. I'm almost done. You still with me? Say amen. Look at Luke chapter 9. Verse 57. Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Verse 60. Let the dead bury the dead. Go and announce, preach the kingdom of God. Verse 62. Jesus said, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Let me remind you, count the cost. Count the cost. 25 years in March, I've been in full-time ministry. I know I don't look that old. You can quit giggling. And 25 years. I wish I'd kept up with the number of people who said, I'm going to serve God because that'll make my life easier. I wish I'd have known to tell them, don't say that. Don't. You're going to go serve God, your life going to get harder. You know, serve God and all of a sudden bearing the cross is no fun, but Jesus is there with you. Now there's blessing, and there's joy, and there's forgiveness, but don't for a minute believe the TV hucksters and the people with all the makeup pancaked on their face who say, man, if you just live for Jesus and you just give to Jesus and all your problems will be over, that's just baloney. That's just hogwash. That's nowhere close to Bible truth. The Bible says, anyone come after me, let him take up his cross and follow me. Make sure you count the cost. Not everybody's going to understand. Not everybody's going to appreciate it. But to count the cost. Understand, this is a commitment. By the way, let me help you. All the cell phones, tablets, game systems, TVs, cable in the rooms, satellite, all these kind of things. If you wait till a kid has learned that everything comes with absolutely nothing attached and no cost, and then you expect them to be a good steward when they turn 19, you're missing a little. You need to teach them to be a good steward. Now, American youth have more wealth than any other time in history and do less to gain that wealth. I want to encourage you to help them understand. Help them understand that what God has blessed them with, they can be a good steward of that back to Him. To start in them a generous heart and a generous spirit will save them from untold heartache in days to come. Some of you work with folks right out of college who are offended that they have to get a job. Look right here. They're offended that they have to do hard work and think everything ought to come to them on a spoon. Some of you can't get waited on in places because people are supposed to be working. They're staring at their rectangles and they won't do things. Why? You need to learn. You begin to teach them that now. Now, count the cost. Count the cost. Count the cost with your time, your talent, your treasure, your testimony. Count the cost. Count the cost. You need to bear your cross. Jesus said to this guy, he said, or in the verses ahead, or verses before that, he says, bear the cross. But first, do this. First, this is the importance. Kitchen table, you got a little desk, you pay the bills in your car, I don't know where you do it. This is important. This is worship. This is important. some of you. So we're so funny. We had our envelopes last year, and some of you got down to the end. You're waving them at me toward November. You're happy. I did it. I've used up a whole book of these things. I'm excited. Some of you don't want anything tracked and all. That's all fine. I'm just using that as an illustration. I got to do this. Pick it up. Put it on. First, and then follow immediately. Follow immediately. Verse 61, Lord, I will follow thee. Let them go first. Let me first go bid them farewell. Let me do this. This is priority. Jesus said, no. No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Verse 59, follow me. He said, Lord, permit me first to go and bury my father. No. Follow me. Do it immediately. Do it immediately. See, I do it when I get my finances in order. I don't know you ever get your finances in order until you figure out what's priority. I don't mean that ugly. I'll do that when we finally have some extra. Same kind of thing. Malachi says if you rob God, you walk around with a bag with holes in it. He's watching the coins fall out. I have a, what do we figure out, Kenneth? I've got a radiator hose leak, we think. I'm about to invest stock in the radiator fluid business. I fill it up, it goes out. It's a wonderful thing. And I can't seem to exactly figure out where it is. And I do that. I realize I am buying a jug of Prestone or off-brand, and it's not going to stay around very long. I know that exactly. I don't know why people don't think, well, I'm going to rob God, but I'll get away with it. Nope. You'll pay it somewhere. I can guarantee you. You'll never rob God and get away with it. Say, well, you know, I'm going to start, and I'm going to obey a little bit and a little bit more. Let me help you. If you understand your kid halfway does something, that's not partial obedience, that's partial disobedience or total disobedience. I don't know how we don't get that with the Lord. Obey. Trust Him. Might line people up here, man. Trust in God and watch what God's doing. Well, you know, when I get this settlement, when I get my bonus check, when I get my tax refund, and I think I've heard every kind of thing. By the way, I've said quite a few of them. Why would God trust you? Why would you get a $2,000 or $3,000 check from the IRS and you're going to give on that when you won't give off the $200 you made this week? Why in the world would you think you'd give? God's saying, you're going to give $200 when you won't give $20. Follow immediately. Jesus wants us to be all in. I'll be a good steward. My time, my talent, my treasure, my testimony. Hey, tough message, preacher. It's exciting, isn't it? God can use my to impact a world. God use your little and my little and people being saved in Barcelona, Africa. You're helping put wells down in a place with no water. God's using your little and helping the Spears who expect another child find another house and hold services and preach to those people there in Japan and tell them the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Your little has helped refurbish that room back there where we're training just gaggles of kids and talking to them about the Lord Jesus Christ and teach them what it means. Your little bit all put together. We're about to refurbish the nursery and make it more inviting. Your little bit has provided for here. All of you together have done so much. Why? Because you have been obedient, and God can take what you have and use it for His honor and glory. And I got news for you. And He can take the 90% or the 85%, and He can stretch that a lot farther than you ever could and bless you on top of that. Why? Because that's exactly who God is and how God operates. And I encourage you to count the cost and take up your cross and follow Him immediately. I'm all in. Pray with me. Our heads are bowed, nobody's looking around, and we do this to not to manipulate you or anything like that, just to give you some privacy. That private moment. You say, Pastor, I'm here today and I'm not sure I'm a believer. There's never been a time or place in my life where I said, Lord, I know I'm a sinner and I'm sorry for my sins. And to be honest with you, Rodney, if I died like I am, I'm not sure where I'd go, or I'm sure I'd spend eternity in hell. And I'm concerned enough about my own soul. Would you pray for me this morning? I'm not sure I'm a follower of Christ, or I know I'm not a follower of Christ, and I'm concerned. I'm concerned. Nobody's looking. I just want to pray for you. I won't call on you. I won't come to you. I just want to pray for you. Would you slip your hand up, or you can just make eye contact with me, whatever. I'm just looking side to side. Thank you. I'm not sure I'm a Christian, or I don't. Or would you pray for me this morning? Anybody else today? Anybody else today? Thank you. Anybody else? You say, Preacher, I've been listening to you this morning, and God's challenged my heart. Maybe you've already started trying to be a good steward. Man, that's phenomenal. Or maybe you feel that urge to do that. Whatever it is, or maybe you just realize you've been disobedient. You made all these excuses, but the reality is that they don't hold a lot of water. And your heart says, you know, I want to be committed in this area. I want to be committed in this area. And you may have a husband or wife that's not on board. It may be a little more complicated. I got it. But that's my heart. I want to be all in. I want to be a good steward of my time, my talent, my treasure, my testimony. And that's my prayer. That's my prayer. Whether you've been doing it or just started or about to start or just feel the need. But preacher, boy, the message just really confirmed some things in my life. And I raise my hand that way. I raise my hand that this is God speaking to me about this and encouraging me, or I'm signing up or signing up again, whatever it is. But boy, I want to be on board, or I'm on board. Anybody else? Boy, a lot of hands. Thank you. You can put them right up, right back down. I'm not going to call on you to come to you. Anybody else? Well, God spoke to my heart. God spoke to my heart. Thank you. Anybody else today? Anybody else? Thank you. Boy, anybody else? What a privilege to do for God who's done so much for us. What a wonderful opportunity. Just a moment, we're going to have a little time. I invite you to do a couple things. Those of you that are comfortable, if you want to come, maybe make a dedication to the Lord here. Maybe you're like that 17, 18-year-old, or 16 actually, year-old boy so many years ago. You're just excited at the thought to be able to give something back to God. Maybe you're here and you've started and stopped, and all you got is a pile of excuses, but you know, as a family, as a dad, as a mom, as an adult, that you need to be giving to the Lord's work, the local church. And you want to be committed and consistent. I invite you to come. I invite you, maybe if you just want to make an altar where you are, sit back down, whatever you want to do. God's dealing with you. I want to invite you to respond. Stand with me quietly to your feet as we stand. Our heads are bowed, nobody looking around. Father, help us right now to obey the Spirit's leading. I pray all this in Jesus' precious name. Our heads are bowed. The musicians are playing and singing. I invite you, as God spoke to your heart today, I invite you to step out. I invite you to come.
Onward, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art.
God spoke to your heart. God spoke to your heart. I invite you to do business with Him. Maybe you want to do business right there in your seat. Kneel, but sit back down and pray to Him. Maybe you're here today and for the first time you really thought about it. Maybe you've started and stopped and you say, you know, I really want to commit. I really want to commit. I want God to use and bless our family, and He has blessed us so much. So you're trying to raise money today, preacher? Nope. that God's interested in raising his children. It's what God's talked about, not me. Say, I don't like what you said. I'm sorry, I don't apologize. But you can take it up with the Bible. So then every one of us shall give a what? An account of ourselves to God. I believe I'll give an account for every nickel that's ever passed through my hands. I want to make sure that I've done my best to be a good steward of anything God's entrusted to me. If that's your prayer, would you pray with me right now? Our heads are bowed. Father, for the truth of the Scripture, we are thankful for the great privilege to be in your house. We are overwhelmed. Thank you for everyone that's here, for all our guests, for all our returning folks. Thank you for the folks who've been out of town, who've been able to join us. We are just honored and privileged today to worship you, the risen, resurrected Savior.